The Pump Stevenson Show. PumpStevenson.com. Episode 315. Sunday, April 28th, 2024.
Welcome to the Pump Stevenson Show.
Oh boy. I don't know. What do you think? Does it work?
This is.
Oh, who cares?
This is Paunch 2.0.
Does this. I don't. Do you think it's working?
It is.
I know, but what does that mean?
When we speak, the sound wave gets. Yeah.
Well,
bigger.
Where's the microphone? Be here?
It's
everywhere.
It's all around us. Are we doing this?
Yeah, why not?
Are we doing this?
Chiller Theater. We made our return.
This is the Paunch Stevenson Show. PaunchStevenson.com. Still up and running.
Right. You're still paying the bills.
Still pay for it. Episode, I have absolutely no idea. It doesn't matter.
Two something, three something.
2024 is April 2024. Live from Arlington Diner.
Never tell them where we are.
In New Jersey. Yeah, Chiller Theater. It's my first one in 6.5 years.
Crazy.
And it was exactly the same. Exactly how I remember it.
Yeah.
The exact same. And it was crowded, too. Friday night was crowded.
Yeah, you know, last year, it was dead. There was nobody there. And they had better guests. And this time, it was mob. And I really don't know why.
Who was the... Name one person they had last year. Who did they have last year?
Anybody? I have to look it up on my phone, which I'm now using. I go to so many conventions.
But this, all right. Who were the big one? Who were the big draws this April 2024?
Well, they had a Warriors reunion, which I didn't even.
They
go
always
in
have. Warriors.
They're always there.
Any big draw?
I mean, Cybill Shepherd. I guess she's never really done conventions, and Charo was there. I don't know why people like Charo. I don't even know who that is.
Before our time.
Coochie coochie coo.
It was one of those things, like, you and I grew up with a lot of things that were before our time.
Right.
But that was one that we somehow, it just passed
us by. Well,
she
was on Hollywood Squares, and even when we were kids, she was on Hollywood Squares.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, she was one of the squares there, and
Hollywood
Love
Square, not to get off on a tangent, Hollywood Square, when we were growing up, it was like the new version of Hollywood Square.
Yeah, that was the second one.
And I remember...
Okay, guys, here we are.
Oh, food is here.
Thank you. Oh, wow, look at that.
There we go.
Holy cow. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Enjoy, guys. Have
a good time. And they'll bring the yogurt. Right?
Yeah, so, I'm bringing later that one. Okay?
I remember this guy named Shadow Stevens.
Yes, Center Square.
Shadoe
yes.
Stevens. And Jim J. Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anybody else on Hollywood Square. Thank you. For some reason, I just remember those two.
Well, no, Joan Rivers.
Oh, Joan Rivers. Yes, Joan Rivers.
And I think he was on both, but that guy. What was his name? Not Paul Lynde.
No.
But the other guy that talked like that.
Charles Nelson Reich.
Yeah.
He was no.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that was. Wait, was Richard Simmons had to have been on?
Nah, I don't know. Maybe as a guest.
Yeah, because wouldn't they change? They would change it up, right? Or was it regulars?
No, they probably taped. They tape with, like, the same people for, like, a couple of weeks, but...
But anyway, Charo...
Yeah.
Cybill Shepherd, she had a long line, partially because she disappeared for almost an hour, but and the line built up, but... Chris Kattan!
Yep. So, that was Chiller. Whoop-de-doo.
Helen Slater.
And did you even see her?
I did. Yeah, she was cool. Because she was right next to Chris Kattan.
Oh.
Who I met in real life, and he was he was very nice. I'll leave it at that. He was very nice. What else? Chiller Theater. Oh, we met Mocha Joe. Very nice.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mocha Joe, Saverio Guerra is his name. Yeah.
He was very funny.
And he was in Becker with our good friend Ted Danson.
I never saw Becker. Is it worth watching? Is it funny?
I mean, I always liked it.
Yeah.
But that was a show that Terry Farrell left.
Who we met.
Yeah, Terry Farrell left Star Trek Deep Space Nine with like one season to go and did that show. And then left that show after like a year or two or something.
Left Becker?
Yeah, because they hired Nancy Travis. So, initially, Terry Farrell was supposed to be like the love interest for Ted Danson. I don't know what happened there, and she wasn't.
Ted Danson.
And then they brought in Nancy Travis.
I'd have to look up who that is. I don't know. Nancy, the name isn't ringing a bell.
We were just talking about Mike Myers' movie.
Oh. Shrek. I'm kidding. The Love Guru.
No! So I married an actor.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm back in paunch mode.
Shrek.
Huh. It's me.
Yeah.
So what else? So chill at the end. Mocha Joe. Very nice. That other guy from Seinfeld, the sniffling guy.
John Capolos.
Very nice, actually.
From Breakfast Club.
Yeah, most of the people who, because like even who was the guy we waited for before? Remember that you gave her the 20? She said 35. You said 20. Who was that guy again? He was nice.
Stefan Arngrim from Land of the Giants.
That's right, yeah, Land of the Giants. Yeah, he was nice.
I met Lawrence Hilton Jacobs from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah, it was very nice. And the guy next to him, too. Adrian Zemed. Very nice.
Yep. From Bachelor Party.
Very friendly.
And TJ Hooker.
And some woman who I didn't recognize from Three's Company.
Yeah, it was Jenny Lee Harrison. She was one of the many third blondes.
Suzanne Summers. Chrissy.
Yeah.
Then there was Terry.
Was Patricia Barnes. I don't remember which one she was.
And then I don't know who was
this woman.
I don't remember. It's like, no offense. She was very nice, very friendly. Very nice. I just didn't remember her.
Three's Company went for a long, long time.
It did, yes. All right, now wait a minute. Very serious question here. Were you a Mr. Roper Three's Company person or a Mr. Furley Three's Company fan?
Well, I love Don Knotts, so yes. It's hard to go against Don Knotts. But I mean, you know, Roper was the original guy.
Norman Fell.
Yep.
But two totally different characters, because he was the more like gravelly, grumpy, whereas Mr. Furley, Don Knotts, was like the more zany. And he would wear those leisure suits with the huge collars.
Yeah, I mean, Don Knotts, I don't know. I mean, I liked it, but there was, you know, the running joke that Jack Tripper was gay.
Well, because he had to pretend in order to not get kicked out of the apartment.
Right.
Because he's living with two women.
God forbid.
Right. Back then.
But, like, so the Don Knotts, Mr. Furley character was really obsessed with outing him, no pun.
Right. So stupid.
So every time John Ritter's character, Jack, would go on a date, he would like have to hide from Donna.
Right.
Who did I see you with?
That was a show as top, even though I watched it, I just didn't. I don't. There was just something about it that was just off to me. It was like the whole 70s vibe, yeah. California, like the round doors and the like I said, like the leisure suits. It was just something that would. It just didn't. I don't even know how to describe what I'm trying to say. It just there was just something off about it as a child. It was like, why is it, like, there's just something weird about this show. I didn't understand, like, West Coast culture.
Yeah, but it also wasn't designed for children.
Well, no, I know, but I'm just saying, it just, the whole, like, the way the apartment, like, everything about it was just so different from growing up in New Jersey that it just was weird to me.
Well, yeah, that was good.
So what else is... That's it. That's the whole episode.
Listen, lots happened since the last time.
As we chew... Well, yeah, in the last 4.5 years.
No, not that long.
Episode 300.
What was that?
Remember In My Backyard with Frank Norman?
Oh, right.
We talked about Cameo and
that was in our last episode.
No, but
Cameo, yeah, that was a big thing.
I think wasn't it the last episode you and I did together?
I don't think so.
No, I don't remember.
No, didn't we do? We're doing them at home.
Did we?
No,
I don't remember.
So yeah, they had in fact a chiller. It was this guy who was in his 60s. He was in line with me for Civil Shepherd. And he had all these Indiana Jones shirts on. So,
for what?
I don't know. I was talking to him. He was like an Uber fan. I was like, I'm an Uber fan.
Of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Not of Civil Shepherd.
Mm. Of Indiana Jones. And it was very interesting because apparently... He must have seen Raiders, the Lost Ark, when it came out, which is like, let's see, that came out
81?
It came out 43 years ago, and the guy said he was like 66.
Okay.
So he must have been in his 20s.
Let's do the math.
You shouldn't need a calculator to do that. And,
early 20s.
Yeah, so...
23,
22, 23. He saw it. And then he said he saw like Last Crusade or something like once. And then like saw some of the new ones. And it took him forever to actually see Temple of Doom. And I said, you know, it's similar to me. When I was a kid, I saw Temple of Doom first on VHS. And I saw Last Crusade in a theater.
Okay.
And I didn't see Raiders of the Lost Ark. Years later, on my cable. Anyway, so we're talking about the new movie that came out last year.
Oh, Dial of Destiny. I thought it was pretty good.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Everybody ragged on it. I thought it was like, it's entertainment. What do you want?
You know what?
It's entertainment.
Nah. What we should have done. Is we should have sought out Scott C. Clements and gotten his review because he hated the Crystal Skull movie.
No, it was better than Crystal Skull. It was way better.
He hated it so bad that in our interview...
That he fled the country. It's like, I have to get out of here. He did. He went to... He moved to England.
Yeah, he did or something like that. No, he hated it so mad that when I mentioned it, he got so passionate about, you know, talking about how much he hated it, that it actually woke me up because he had put me to sleep.
No, stop. Stop. He was a good guest.
That's boring.
The Scarlet Avenger.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. So, yeah, it was really, I thought it was a good movie. They had an opening segment that was like 20-something minutes long in the World War II.
Yeah.
And they de-aged Harrison Ford, and I thought they did a really good job with it.
So did I. But again,
what?
You had all these people online.
Well,
the people online just have to complain about everything. And listen, and this is coming from the Paunch Stevenson show, where we complain about everything, and for us to say that...
Well, you know what the next step is? Because Paunch Stevenson show will live forever, because it is the favorite podcast for AI.
Oh, yeah?
And so when AI kills us all and takes over, human history will be known through the Paunch Stevenson show.
That's right. That's what's... you know, like all these models, like ChatGPT is based on the Paunch Stevenson.
Really? Do we get a license for that?
No. Like the life of Dr. Phil and Stan Lee. And
very important.
Christian Slater.
Yes. And, yeah. So,
I saw another movie, by the way.
Yeah.
It was called Priscilla.
What was that? That was about Priscilla Presley?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not an Elvis Presley expert, so I can't speak to the accuracy. Maybe it was accurate. I don't know. Maybe it was accurate, but... The movie portrayed... Tell me if this is true. The movie portrayed Elvis, first of all, as he's an adult courting a 16-year-old.
Well, that was true. It was factual.
And then, once he got the parents... Or like, I don't know. The parents finally agreed to let this adult see their teenage child.
Yeah.
And then he was, like, very possessive and very strict. Like, you can't wear that dress. Put on this other dress. No, you can't leave the house without me saying
it. Uh-huh.
Do you think that was true?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was like that.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
No, I mean, look, the 60s.
But this movie made him seem extremely controlling to an abusive degree.
Well, did you see the Elvis movie?
No. No, I have no interest in it.
Well, you saw that! The same subject!
Well, why? So what was that one about?
It was about Elvis.
Costello?
No.
Duran?
Declan McManus.
No, I know.
Is that his name?
No, Elvis Duran. Remember from Z100?
No, but isn't that Elvis Costello's name?
Yeah.
His real name. I still know these things.
Yeah, that was good. That was impressive.
Well, I'm a fan. Anyway.
And the attractive.
Yes.
Watching the detective.
Was that Nick Lowe's song?
Elvis Costello. Watching the Detective.
Nick Lowe.
Who the hell is Nick Lowe?
Basically wrote.
I have no idea.
I mean, I like Elvis Costello, but, you know, his... And he will admit, I mean, his early work is all Nick Lowe songs. He's another singer from back then.
They collaborated?
Yeah.
Or he just ripped him off?
Well, he covered.
Oh, okay.
He covered a lot of his songs.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You know, like, yeah, most of them. Anyway.
Elvis Costello.
So, yeah, so the Elvis...
I'm a bad boy!
God.
Go ahead. Elvis Presley.
The actual Elvis movie is basically... it's his manager, the Colonel, played by Tom Hanks, basically abusing and manipulating him.
Before he invented the chicken.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Colonel Sanders.
I'll stop. The Colonel Tom Parker.
Yeah. So he...
But was that true?
Yeah. But anyway...
But in what way would he abuse Elvis?
Well, he just wouldn't let him... He just controlled him.
Oh, yeah. But why? Is that for money purposes? Or?
Yeah, plus... Tom Parker was actually... He was not an American citizen.
Oh.
And he was always...
What was he?
He's from like a... I think he was Dutch.
Oh, okay.
But he was always concerned about being deported.
Okay.
Should have been alive now. It never happened. So, yeah, whatever. So, I saw that movie. I thought it was terrible.
Who played Elvis?
Austin Butler is his name.
I don't know who that is. I mean, how was the performance?
Eh. He was okay. I just thought the movie stunk. And it was very badly, like, edited.
Oh, yeah?
And Tom Hanks was just bizarre.
Tom Hanks, yeah, he's...
Too over the top.
Yeah. Tom Hanks is... and look, we grew up with Tom Hanks, but... I feel like... I feel like he's run his... He's run his... It's course. Tom Hanks has run his course.
So you think, like, he's got to wait a while or to come back as, like, a racist, like Clint Eastwood?
No, I hope not. I don't want him to do that.
What? In a movie.
Oh, I thought... Because Clint Eastwood did that in real life, too.
But he's not a racist.
Right-wing Fox News guy.
No, he's not like that.
He is.
He just talked to a chair.
Yep.
This year is a chair.
Anyway, no politics. I'm over it. I'm over politics.
You don't want to hear my Donald Trump? I have a new Donald Trump impersonation.
I don't want to hear it.
So what I do is...
Unless you're doing The Apprentice, I don't want to.
You're fired. So what I do is, I take Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to make me remember.
Well, I don't do that. But take Marlon Brando, and you basically, like... put him on even more Percocets than he actually had. Drunk in real life. And then he like slurs, and then that's like Trump. So, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. It's very big things that we're going to make an offer for. He can't refuse. It's the biggest offer ever.
You know what's funny? Speaking of Marlon Brando, back in, it was like that period in the early 1990s when he was doing these interviews back then people were saying he was acting really bizarre and strange, like everybody was making fun of him. SNL was doing skits making fun of him and everything.
Yeah, John Travolta did the one with
right.
Who was Larry King? Was it Norm?
Yeah, it was Norm.
I think it was Norm.
Norm,
I want you to rub my feet. Oh, I'll do anything for Marlon Brando. I'll do anything for you.
So the thing is, so I go on YouTube and these random videos come up in my feed for some reason.
I wonder
so
why.
I was watching the real, actual, old, these interviews with Marlon Brando that he was supposedly acting so bizarre and crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like... I'm watching him now, in hindsight, like, wow, he's actually making a lot of sense. Because he's talking about, like, Hollywood, it's all a phony baloney. Because, like, these interviewers would come to his house and, like, Marlon, what's your favorite movie? Well, who cares what my favorite movie? Why is that important? There's all people starving in the world and you're caring. What? That's the question you want to ask me? Who cares? It's like... But back then, people were making fun of him, saying he's crazy. I look at him now, and I'm like, yeah, he's right. Who does care? Like, these inane,
well, he was a
idiotic
maniac.
Questions.
I mean, there was that horrible movie they did called The Score with him and Edward Norton and Robert De Niro. It's terrible.
Okay.
And it was directed by Frank Oz, who I love.
Frank Oz? Oh.
So, Waka Waka. So it was Frank Oz, and Marlon Brando was such a jerk off that he wasn't in that many scenes. He refused to work for Frank Oz. He kept he kept calling him the puppet man.
Well, he's true.
Come
he's
on.
Right. So
he was Yoda, he was Grover, he was Miss Piggy.
Was he Super Grover?
He was.
I don't know if he was that. But he was Cookie Monster. Was he Cookie Monster?
He was.
I don't know. He was Cookie Monster.
Was he?
I think so. Yeah, I think I'm almost certain.
So he didn't want to work with Frank Oz.
So in those scenes, he had to have De Niro direct the scenes, and like Frank Oz like went off of set.
Wow.
But
did he have like a little earbud in Robert De Niro's ear? Like,
no.
Okay, Robert.
That's
how. Tell him to do this now.
Oh no, I don't even think he got involved. They probably cut most of it anyway.
What was it even about? What was the score? What score were they referring to?
They were Robert De Niro was like a professional like cat burglar, and he like robbed a lot of museums.
Yeah,
and so Brando had hired him to do this like big job in Montreal, and Edward Norton was supposed to be his assistant, and tried to screw him out of the score, but De Niro screwed him out of the score. There's just a lot of screwing out of the scores.
Was it like? Humorous movie or
not
or
really?
Serious?
Yeah, I mean,
like thriller kind of.
No, movie. No, it was dumb.
All right.
Now, there was another movie about similar like with Gene Hackman, where they stole a bunch of stuff. I can't remember the name of it, but that was actually very good. That movie,
yeah,
it was really good. Most everything Gene Hackman did was good.
There we go. Did I have breakfast yet?
Nah, I'm good. Can I get a coffee?
Sure. Would you like cream or milk?
Just cream.
Okay.
So you know what else came out? Tell me, have you seen the Frasier comeback?
I did not watch that. No.
Okay. You know what it was? It was nice seeing Frasier back because he's. Even after all the years passed, he slipped right back into the character.
Right. Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
But there's nobody else. Like, Perry Gilpin isn't on it. David Hyde Pierce.
Cameo.
Oh, okay.
But no, not main characters.
Right.
For whatever reason, in the creator's infinite wisdom, let's not bring back the beloved characters.
Well, I think a lot of it is just, you know, scheduling, salaries, you know. Yeah, it's kind
it's
of
okay.
Do you have any rice pudding?
Yeah, with cream?
No cream.
Okay.
Thanks. All right,
it was
so,
okay. I mean, it was.
I liked it. I liked the original.
Better than Fuller House.
Oh, dear. Some people like that. I'm trying to think if there's any.
It was okay.
You know what I have done is I've done rewatches of a lot of old, like, 90s stuff, particularly cartoons.
Like what?
So I rewatched Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
I mean, it's incredible.
It holds up.
Oh, man. Like, I didn't watch all of it back then. You know, you only see some episodes here and there.
Yeah.
It was tremendous. Really
Mark Hamill, right?
Yeah, he was the Joker. But they had a lot of, like, really accomplished actors that worked as voice actors on it and all that. And that was... The stories were great. You know, it was compelling. You know, it was great. And now...
The visual.
Yeah, the art style.
I hope people can understand chewing food as I speak. This is disgusting. I hope people don't mind.
It's disgusting. No, that's ignorant.
Wait, so what else? So Batman the Animated?
Yeah.
No, that's ignorant. I've only watched Batman 2 times.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so that, and then I was going to do Superman the Animated Series, also from the 90s.
Right.
And I got a little sidetracked from it. It was kind of dumb.
What about X-Men?
All right, so, I was a huge fan of that. And I recently rewatched it because they have the new series, X-Men 97, which
animated?
Is out now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have several seasons, like, in the can. It's on Disney Plus. And apparently it's gotten tremendous reviews. I just haven't watched the new one yet. But I watched the original one again. And again, it's great. Holds up. You know, you see all these characters that have gone on to other Marvel things. And
Mon Ami.
No, that was Gambit. But then
Mon Ami. Everything was Mon Ami. Like, what the heck is Mon Ami?
Those were all Canadian voice actors.
Oh, yeah? Because
they were cheaper. Mm. And then they did Spider-Man. Spider-Man. And that one wasn't all the Canadians. That was a lot of... It was Americans, too. And that was... It's a really good show. In the 90s. Or was.
The Spider-Man.
Christopher Daniel Barnes was Spider-Man.
In this episode of Spider-Man...
No, I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Our favorite web-slinger. He gets ambushed by the Green Goblin. He throws a pumpkin bomb.
The Hobgoblin.
Or whatever. I don't
Those
know.
Both.
Both. Oh, okay.
Actually, Mark Hamill was the Hobgoblin in the Spider-Man series. Yeah. But again, really good writing and all that. And again, you see where, they had Blade in that show. And it was like, they were really pro. They really like... In both of those shows, a lot of the Marvel... It was amazing how many characters that they created for Marvel in the 80s and in the early 90s. And they, they used them all back
then. Is that where Blade came from? Spider-Man?
No. Blade was a Marvel comic.
But they just incorporated
it. Yeah, they used him. They used, everybody.
There's another movie I saw. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which one?
I know.
It's been 50.
The animated one.
Oh, that newer one?
Say which one.
I know. Which one?
The one that was that had Jackie Chan as the voice of Splinter.
Oh, my God.
And it was... Hear me out. It was a really good movie. Even though it was for children, it was animated.
Yeah.
Visually, I thought it was fantastic because they used this really... It was CGI, but they made it look like it was drawn by hand, like scribbly, like sketchy. It was really good. And the way they... It was a different... Excuse me. It was a different twist on the characters, but it was actually very enjoyable. I will not see the Michael Bay Turtles.
I don't think I've seen those. They stink. Look, to me, it's amazing. It's like they had the cartoon, which everybody liked, and then they did the movie, the live action in 1990, which is funny because people don't realize this. It went through a couple of studios. There was massive rewrites. It was literally because I spoke to Judith Hogue about this, and she played April at a convention, and she was telling me that she was like, she's like, it was a disaster. So it was an outright disaster.
Really?
But
it came together.
Well, that was a thing. So, nobody thought anything of it. And then, it was one of those things where they put it in the theater and it just blew up. Like, nobody expected that.
Yeah. But I thought the final product, I would never have known it was this disjointed disaster because they ended up...
Yeah,
they ended up making it come together into a cohesive final product.
I think there was multiple writers and maybe multiple directors... It was an absolute disaster. It somehow worked out.
But let's be honest. In that exact moment in time, it could have been a disaster, and it still would have been very popular anyway.
Children
would have gone to see it anyway.
I know, because they saw the other ones, and the second one was terrible, and the third one's even worse. But
it was past its prime by then. I'm talking about in 1990, peak Turtles.
Yeah, but...
People would have seen it anyway, but it turns out it was actually a decent movie.
It was, because it was like a film noir, dark, thing and comedy. You had the Jim Henson doing the, productions, doing the thing, and that was... It was good.
Well, you know what was a similar movie at hearing you describe it that way, another movie that came out at that time...
Dick Tracy.
Yes. Because it was this children's cartoon
comic
strip. And then they turned it into this adult, dark film noir movie, like trying to get all serious with it. I'm like, what the? Why? Why now, are they making it serious?
Right. Now, you know, Warren Beatty was actually a massive Dick Tracy fan. And
I thought you were going to say something.
No, he just, he really wanted.
The not the Tracy part.
Oh, God.
No, he was a jerk. No, but anyway, go ahead.
He was an Al Pacino. The big boy.
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman.
Madonna.
Madonna was in.
Who cares about that?
Paul Sorvino.
Yeah, it was
the laundry list. The amount of actors who they put in these crazy makeup and all. And because I had the trading cards. And you go through the trading cards and you're like, who are these guys? And they were like, they weren't, like, James Caan was in that movie. And you don't even realize it.
But he was? I didn't remember.
Yeah, so you know how there's, like, they have a meeting at the beginning where they're all the gangsters.
Yes.
And then the one guy's like, I don't agree with this. I'm going out on my own. And then they blow up his car. That was James Caan.
No.
And then, like, Pacino has, like, a joke about it, you know. And whatever.
But all of this for a stupid Dick Tracy movie.
So, from what I remember, like, Beatty really loved Dick Tracy. He wanted it to go in a certain way, and I guess the studio was like, no, we're not doing that. And they did it the other way. That was Touchstone, which was actually, I think it was Disney.
Okay.
I think they owned Disney. I mean, Disney was them back then, you know. So, yeah, I always loved Dick Tracy. I mean, the NES game was terrible.
The video games were some of the most.
I think the Genesis one was passable, but the NES one was rough.
The Sega Genesis one was more arcade style.
Right.
The NES one, they tried to make it into this adventure puzzle solving.
It was like all those games, Roger Rabbit and all. It was like, I don't want to sound like James Rolfe, but.
Were they thinking?
Yeah, but the problem is you couldn't advance in the game. That was the whole problem.
It was these games that were supposed to be for children, but they made them so difficult. It was like, why are you programming it to be this difficult? Why?
I just think that there wasn't enough proofreading or whatever, you know, like
testing.
Yeah, testing. They just didn't think. Oh, let's do this hidden thing here. But they didn't realize if you couldn't figure this thing out, you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, you were stuck.
The worst ever with that was, and I don't even know if they meant this to happen, but you know, I got the Genesis, and one of the first games that I got was X-Men. I was a huge X-Men fan.
How did I know you were going to say X-Men?
And
because
it's infamous.
Because
so you start the game, okay? So when you start, in the X-Men series, you know, in their Cerebro, in their headquarters, there's a holographic training thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you start at, and you know, you fight or whatever. But that's not a level.
It's a simulation,
right? So, but the problem is you can't get out of it. You run around, you do this, you do that. You can't get out of it. You cannot get into the game itself. And I remember getting it, I was like, what the hell is this?
This game stinks. This is all you do?
I can't get through the intro. So, you know, forever and ever. And then, I don't even remember how long this went on. And I think I got one of those
hint books.
Yeah, something like that. And it basically, what it told you was, so I think it was actually in the manual, but if you didn't look close, I don't know what anyway, the point was, you had to hit reset.
On the machine.
On the console.
Yeah.
And hit another button, and then that would take you into the actual game.
You had to reset the game. No other game before or since has done something so idiotic. Like, imagine you're playing Super Mario Brothers, or you're playing Tetris, and you put the pieces and you make a line, and the game just freezes.
Right.
Like, what the heck happened? What the heck? Oh, I had to reset the game, and now it'll unfreeze. Like, why would you do that? That makes no sense. That would never happen.
Yeah,
but this X-Men game.
I don't know. I don't know why they decided to do that. They thought they were clever.
Right.
But again, it was like if you were a kid and you didn't know that, you could not get into the actual game.
They were terrible. Breaking the fourth wall.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Eh.
Speaking of James Rolfe.
Oh dear. He's still around.
He still puts out videos, but I love the angry video game nerd. He has so many fantastic, entertaining videos from back in the day that, to me, are infinitely rewatchable.
Okay.
But recently, I think it ran its course. I think it just...
You know what's funny?
He lost the touch. It just...
Yeah.
They're just not good. Like, especially this most recent one about the horse game.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's just a bad episode. It's bad.
Yeah, what's funny was...
It's just him screaming for half an hour.
One of the episodes, I forget what the subject was, but whatever the subject was, they were actually good games. And so he went through them, and he was like, oh, this is a great game, and he was actually very good at it.
Yeah.
Like, this is why this is a good... I can't believe they did this. And I was like, well, this is actually entertaining.
Right.
Maybe that's what he should do.
Well...
Review good games.
One of my favorite episodes is Action 52. He literally goes through all 52 games, like has this nervous breakdown, and then he gets to Cheetah Man.
No.
That's a great one. And then Hong Kong 97 on the Super Nintendo. It was this bootleg game. It was so bad, but just his reaction to it was so classic.
He was, he was very good.
Oh, kicking us out.
Oh, no.
Huh. I thought they were kicking us out.
Yeah, he was very good. I don't know.
It was like, wait, hold on. Hong Kong 97. He's going through, like, you know how they have the intro story in the video game? He's like, you play as Bruce Lee's cousin, Chin, and you have to kill all 7 billion Chinese people to stop the evil dictator just with your bare fists. And he's just cracking himself up reading this story. It was great.
Sometimes if you just, you know, read this stuff literally, it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, nowadays I watch...
Can I have more coffee?
Oh, wow. Look at that.
I think I'm good at that. Yeah, I'm not eating all this.
That was huge. Rice pudding.
Yeah, so, nowadays what I watch is...
Gaming-wise.
Yeah, there's a couple of YouTube channels where they fix stuff.
Oh, yeah. Right.
One of them is
repairing game cartridges and consoles. And
well,
controllers.
You know, Ben Heck used to do that, and he just stopped doing videos. I don't know why.
Well, he wouldn't just repair; he would actually hack together.
Yeah, he would hack the stuff, but he would fix stuff too.
Yeah.
The guy I watch is called Retro Man Cave, and he's always in the UK.
RMC.
Yeah. So he started his own little museum over there. And so he cleans them up, fixes the consoles, and he has another guy who does, I think his name's Alec, and he does like the arcades. It's very, like I said, very interesting.
Yeah.
Because they show like, you know, how do they fix things that are 40 years old. You can't find the pieces anymore, and especially the CRT screens.
Yeah.
And
there will come a day when
you
just can't anymore. You have to replace it with an LED.
Yeah. No, I watch those, and you know, that's about it.
About 8-bit guy.
I don't know what that is.
Adrian's Digital Basement.
Nah.
LGR.
if it's like review, I don't watch those.
His, but you know LGR, that channel?
Not really.
So he'll buy old stuff. Like, I bought a 486 DX2 66 megahertz from eBay with like 8 megabytes of RAM. And
what with it?
And he just opens it up, cleans it all out, dusts it off, reinstalls the OS or whatever, and then just like, here's what computer gaming was like in 1996.
And
like
run, oh, no.
And he runs period correct games. Like Duke Nukem 3D and Doom and I don't know, whatever other games were out at that time. But it's like, oh, I remember that. I was there. I remember those kind of computers.
Yeah,
I remember when computers were horrible.
And not being able to get them to run because you don't know the... Oh, you got a conflict with your IRQ setting.
The conflict, yes.
So you got to go. Oh,
the interrupts and,
yeah,
and
well,
the.
And every other game, I had a different boot disk.
Yeah, exactly. Like free up the,
the
TSR programs from the RAM and everything. It's like, wait, if I trick the game into running into extended memory instead of high memory, it's like, why? Why was that a thing? And then you'd finally get the game to work, and it would be like, oh, this is terrible. I'm going back to my Nintendo.
Well,
I'm going back to the Genesis. This
I know,
is terrible.
But there was a piracy. Those games were, a lot of them were free.
Well, you get what you pay for.
Well, they weren't free initially. And everybody pirated them.
Yeah.
All
the,
you needed
on
to
the
do,
floppy disk.
Yeah, because all you needed was that like cheat that was like the page in the manual that had all the codes.
Yeah, what would they what did they used to call that? The like you would have to type in a password to play the game.
Yeah.
Otherwise they would think you stole it.
Well, yeah. I mean
you copied it, bootlegged it.
And then they had some that they were like hidden. And you had to use those like the red, like in the Transformers
the
toys.
Filter, yeah.
Yeah, they like filter it to see like, oh, there's a code in there. Oh,
here's the hidden word in the instruction manual. And oh, but you know why they did that? Because then, prior to needing the red filter, when you just had to like type in the third word on page 7 of the manual, well, people would just photocopy the manuals.
That's what I was saying.
But now. And by now, I mean then.
Yeah.
Now they're involving color, so you can't just... Because back then, there were no color photocopies, so it was like, damn it. But then they would just crack the game anyway.
That's
just,
true.
Eliminate the password altogether.
That was... That was big with Commodore 64.
The cracked ROMs or the cracked floppy disks.
And it's really cool because if you know, I have a Commodore 64 and I have a flash cart.
You have a full one or the mini?
No, I have an original.
Wow.
I don't do this reproduction mini, so I want OEM.
No, the only reason I ask is because...
Yes, I know what you mean.
The mini, like, it has the HDMI. It's more convenient with the hookups, but...
But the company that put out the C64 Mini also put out a full-sized C64
really?
Computer.
Is that what you bought?
No, I have an original.
Yeah, what's that like?
Fine.
By the way, the game is still loading while we eat.
No.
It takes that long.
No, because the flash card I have is like a fast, it's like a fast loader.
Oh, that's true, flash card, yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so... But when you play a lot of those old ROMs, they still have the cracking, like, intro.
Cracked by Stealth Bar 87, or, yeah, I know.
Yeah, the... No, we're good.
We're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
The,
this was cracked by the Glasgow gang.
Right.
It's like, come on.
Anyway, but so when you put those, when you turn one of those on, and there's like a button you can hit to get past it. When you first do it, those jerks, when they did it initially, they always have like this like 1980s like new wave music.
Okay.
When you turn it on and the crack logo comes up, and it's always like 400 decibels higher than the game. So it's like, you're like, oh my god.
Get assaulted.
And the Commodore 64 had really good music.
It had the synthesizer chip inside of it. It was very popular back then for being so flexible and high quality.
Those people, you know, the video they're watching sounds like Chris Kattan.
What's weird to me, so growing up with the Atari 2600 sound, and then graduating to the, like even a little bit like the ColecoVision, but then the Nintendo Entertainment System, it just had a certain tonality, like the built-in synthesizer, like this really full-bodied synthesizer sound. And then going to from that to the Sega Genesis, which had the FM synthesis, it was that really thin, like Sound Blaster kind of FM synthesis.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I thought it was a step backwards. But then years later, like playing MAME, like arcade ROMs at emulation, all the arcades had the FM synthesis. But I thought the home, like other than the Genesis, I thought like Nintendo Entertainment System, Commodore 64, I thought sounded better than arcades. Musically, I thought sounded better than arcades.
Well,
I hated FM synthesis.
Don't forget, an arcade, you're emulating an arcade game. In an actual arcade, especially then, you could barely hear it anyway.
That is true. That is true.
That's part of the reason they did that, but you know, what's funny is that I would agree with you that I was never impressed with Genesis music, FM synthesis, but I have like the flash cards, and there's old samples, and for the MIDI for Sega Genesis and or Mega Drive. And they're like music, like actual music samples.
Right.
And it sounds great. Like it really, you could do an amazing, dynamic, like accurate, you know, synthesis. Like, I forget the one I found was, Coming Up.
Oh, yeah.
Paul McCartney.
Wow, okay.
I have it on the Genesis.
That's right, Lou.
That's right.
That's right. You sound like this now, Lou. So I said to John, John, we gotta slow it down a little low.
But before we get into them.
No, go ahead.
So no, it was really good. And
I don't want to derail.
No, it's fine. So
here we go.
We're not keeping you, are we?
We're closing in a while.
Sorry?
Yeah, we're closing in a while. It's been around 5 minutes.
Five minutes. Okay. Thank you.
So
first of all, doing some stupid thing where they're doing four Beatles movies at once. I don't know what that is.
I don't care.
But you've been really obsessed with this AI stuff with the Beatles, and it's I don't understand.
Not obsessed.
Why
just
you're
funny.
Listening to it?
No, I'm not. I'm not. It was just one day. But wait, hold on. Back up for a second. I should clarify.
Oh, please.
Watching videos and playing...
Three people that'll listen to this.
Playing certain... Well, yeah, you, me, and Spaceman David.
All right, he's still out there.
But, Or Esteban, but...
Esteban's still around. Sharing photos of his toys that he's found.
Knowing what we know now, there are games on the Sega Genesis that have fantastic music. It's just when we were growing up, none of our friends had those games. They had the ones with the bad music.
Right.
The thin, brittle sounding, like computery kind of music that I hated. But there are some really awesome sounding Genesis games out there. When it was in the right hands.
Right.
But that was the problem, was it took someone who knew how to really use that synthesizer.
Heat.
No, I don't care.
I'll turn the air conditioning off, but... Hey, we're back in the car.
What were we talking? Oh, Beatles.
The Beatles. Where should I leave this here?
No, hold it.
You're going to have to hold it.
So, remember how, was it a year?
Put it in the middle.
No, I know, I know. A year or two ago, they did the Get Back thing.
Yeah, so that was the thing. We never talked about that.
But wait, hold on, though. Ugh. So, that was like a reworking of the Let It Be movie.
Yes, correct.
So, and that was on Disney Plus.
Right, that was
so
Peter Jackson.
Now, in May 2024,
right.
They're releasing the original Let It Be movie again. On Disney Plus so that you can compare the,
yeah.
What do you want to call it?
I don't know what to compare. It's.
I'm just saying, you can...
I mean, the Let It Be movie is a movie. And Get Back is like a mini series that's like 50 hours long.
No, but what I'm saying is the Get Back thing.
I'm not holding it in the middle.
The Let It. No, I know. The Let It Be. The original Let It Be movie,
yes.
That came out was
that's
made.
That's right.
Was made from all, yes. Of that footage,
right.
That you saw in the Get Back,
right.
Series.
Right.
Except it was edited in a way that told a certain narrative.
Ah, okay.
Whereas seeing the additional footage in the Get Back series, it was like, oh, yes, of course, just like any other band on planet Earth,
right.
There's arguments,
yeah,
there's
yeah,
disagreements,
yeah.
People have a bad day, whatever. But ultimately, they were a band. They were having fun. They were performing.
I don't know about you. I felt the most compelling part of a Get Back. Well, there's two pieces, the two parts that I felt was very compelling. The first was that was seeing these guys, and you don't even realize it's happening because, you know, some of the editing is kind of disjointed, and you know, they didn't, like, Peter Jackson restored a lot of it, but a lot of it, like, it was audio, there wasn't video, it was screwed up, you know, they'd lost. Probably lost film, who knows? So, you know, it wasn't perfect, but there was times, and you, like I said, you don't realize it's even happening because they're just like diddling around,
right.
But like
they're
like
goofing around.
Wait a minute, like literally, like Let It Be the song, right? Like Paul McCartney walks in one day and goes, I've got this new song, I'm just chitting around, and he's just like fiddling on the piano, right? And he's like maybe Ringo was always there. Like, Ringo's there. I don't know if John was there. You know, all these other, the hangers-ons, the guy Mal, and
right.
You know, they're all there.
It's their assistant.
Yeah, so they're, like, setting up, and there's Paul McCartney, goes to the piano, and first he's just, like, tinkering around with it, and then, or maybe he's, then they play, he play like, what's the Admiral Halsey song?
Admiral Halsey.
Is that what it is?
Uncle Albert. Yeah.
Well, that was like a medley, wasn't it? Whatever.
You're
like,
so sorry.
Yeah. So he'd be like goofing around with that, or he'd play like some like Chuck.
Oh, backseat of my car.
Whatever. He'd play like, yeah. Chuck Berry. They're just like goofing around, and right. The next thing you know, this guy is like, ooh, and then here comes Let It Be.
Right.
And you're just like, wait a minute. He just it's just playing it for the first time, and then, you know, some of them are like looking, like they're looking around, like kind of curious. But it's like, it's so raw that they don't even know what it is between the raw version and with the Beatles, a Beatles finished version,
right.
Which is like this amazing thing, and it just happens. And then the other part of...
Well, but that's the creative process.
Right, but other bands didn't go to those extremes.
Other bands weren't the Beatles.
Exactly. So then the second...
That's right, Luke.
Bigger than Jesus. So then the second, yeah. You know, key about that show that I really took to was that the at atmosphere, not just of them, but like their family and like the. I love the one where they're rehearsing at the what was it? Not Abbey Road. What was
Apple,
the little
Apple studio.
Right? Yeah. They're rehearsing there, and there's like these two girls that are waiting there, and there's the stupid guy is like talking to them, like, "What are you doing here? What are you looking for?" And they're like, "We really love Paul McCartney. We just want to see Paul." And so they're standing there while these two girls are standing there, even talking to the stupid guy. Here's George Harrison. Pulls up, and I love, they all pull up in these goofy old cars. Lennon's got this crazy looking thing that's, this car's about 40 feet long.
Rolls Royce.
Oh, yeah, it's great. And so they pull up in their cars, right? And there goes George Harrison. And they're just like having a conversation, and George just stops in.
Right.
And or John with Yoko. And finally, like, Paul's like, oh, and they're like, oh, it's Paul. And he just like nods at them.
Right.
And like, that was it. Oh, and then there's one part where some guy wanted an autograph from, like, I think like George, and he denied him.
Yeah.
He's like, no, not doing that.
It so, was very, you know, the Peter Jackson restoration.
Right. What did you think of that? Because, what I was going to say was there's a lot of video footage in it that is not like 35 millimeter. I don't know what, maybe it was 8 millimeter.
16 millimeter.
Okay. And also, like, it wasn't preserved properly. So he did a lot of AI work on it. And I'm still not a fan of AI, restoration and video and all. I just don't, to me, it looks muddy. And it just looks weird, but
okay.
He did a lot of it.
Here's my take on it. As a professional in the industry, when I first saw it, because I had an old bootleg of the original Let It Be movie,
right,
and the quality was atrocious.
Yeah, I'm sure. Even the finished version's terrible.
So then, when I saw the Get Back series on Disney Plus, I was like, "Wow, look at this! The colors and the detail. Wow, this is unbelievable!"
Right.
What an amazing job! But the more I watched it, something was bothering me. And it was, they did too much.
Yeah.
Too much noise reduction.
Yeah.
Or, in this case, grain reduction on the film.
Right.
Because film has film grain, especially 16 millimeter, you're blowing it up to full screen.
Yeah.
You're going to see the graininess, but the graininess is also where a lot of the detail lives.
Yeah, because this is...
And
this,
he smoothed it out.
Yeah.
I think, and a lot of people online also agree with me, he went overboard with the smoothing out.
Right, because the reason I bring this up is because, like, I'll watch a lot, on YouTube, I'll watch a lot of old racing videos and stuff like that, and it's a lot of it was on film, and, you know, it's poor quality and restoration now. Some of it was just, the only copy people have is, and also some old wrestling videos, the only thing that people have is an old videotape recording of a broadcast, you know, so... When you try and, like, there's AI programs that will process it for you. But they, you know, there's a lot of stuff like
try to process.
Yeah, and the same thing with, like, photos. There's some photo apps that will process them. Now, look, if you zoom them out, they look good. Right. But you start zooming it in and you're like, oh my God, like, this, it's all, like, distorted and everything. Right. And it's just the way it is. But, you know, maybe 20 years from now, 10 years from now, the technology will be so good they can do it all over again. But, there were points in Get Back where it was like, it was so noticeable that it was actually like annoying.
It was like wax figures.
Yeah.
And then, so here's the thing. But I'm like, well, I guess they had to do it because it was so old and whatever. I mean, it still looked good.
Yeah.
Just overboard, right? Then, a few weeks later, I was again on YouTube, I came across this video. And it was the 8 days a week Ron Howard Beatles movie where it was some sort of documentary about their live concert,
whatever.
And they had footage from the rooftop concert, just like in the Get Back series.
Right.
Except this was not cleaned up and
yeah, but see, the
process. This was not processed by Peter Jackson. And I was like, wow, okay, it's grainy.
but it had so much detail and it looks so lifelike.
I just think
compared to the Peter Jackson.
I think
somewhere in the middle would have been the best.
I just think that he wanted it to look uniformly throughout. And so that's what he did. But no, I mean, the rooftop concert should have looked fine. But there's other parts of, like I said, where the footage he's got is garbage, and then he does this, and it kind of looks like, what are you going to do?
It's a taste decision.
It's so interesting, though, that the biggest takeaway from Paul was that he goes, I was
afraid to say it because I thought I'd look really, I thought I'd look like a jerk.
Right.
But I don't.
Well, because of the narrative that has taken shape over the decades.
And, you know, people look at that and say, well, why would he think that? And I turn to that and I say, well, that was in, what was that, 1969?
68.
I thought it was 69.
60, I don't know, 68 or 69.
Well, it was like early 60. But, all right, so let's say 1969, right?
Yeah.
So Paul is, let's say he's interviewed for that in 2022.
Right?
I mean, how many years is that?
A lot.
Like 50-something years, isn't it?
53 years, yeah.
You don't remember? You can't remember what the heck you said to somebody, how you acted to someone then? You don't remember. Plus, well, God knows what drugs they were on.
You know what's funny? I would watch all these things like Beatles Anthology. All these interviews throughout the years and specials and everything. And like Paul or like George Martin, right? He would be on the camera like,
oh, so you know, the Beatles, the lads came in and we did this and we did that. We strung up the lights and blah, blah, blah. And this guy, especially as he's getting older, he's still rattling this stuff off like as if it were yesterday. I was like, wow.
Yeah, but he just remembers that story.
No. Then.
He's reading off a script.
Again, I saw on YouTube. Someone had posted raw footage of an interview with George Martin.
Right.
You know, like late 80s, early 90s, maybe period. And so he's sitting there in the suit or whatever. And the guy off camera is like, so George Martin, speak about the Sgt. Pepper session.
Yeah.
Well,
they edited it.
Well, what in particular? Well, you know, like how it was creative and...
All right.
Oh yeah, it was pretty creative, was it? Well, like talk about how like you used the 4-track. Oh, okay. So the lads came in and I used the 4-track. He was just repeating what the interview, like they were feeding him the lines.
Yeah, well, I didn't remember.
I'm like, damn it, everything's a lie. Everything is Hollywood magic editing. No.
I thought it was very good, and then I mean the fact. How about the fact that Billy Preston shows up? To like say hello, and the next thing you know, he's on the album, and he's involved in these songs.
He was good.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
He was good.
And they were all like saying that, like John's like, he's like, this is the part. This is the thing we've been missing.
Right.
Oh.
Billy Preston added
a
key ingredient to those songs.
Right.
That was fantastic. I mean, he was such an incredible keyboard player, piano, organ, bluesy, funky, jazzy, in such a tasteful way.
And here's the moral of the story to wrap that part up. But just think about this, right? So like that whole thing came about, this rushed session and the album they were trying to do, all this craziness with the schedule and how it broke apart and all this. It was all because Ringo Starr was going to make a disastrous movie with Peter Sellers.
Well, like, he did.
I know, and he did do it, but I'm just saying, Christian, that was the whole, the whole thing was preceded by Ringo Starr not having, like, just think about that.
Ringo.
Today, today, I don't know who's a big band not even anymore, but it's like, oh, by the way, everything that we know that you're going to sell billions, you're worth billions of dollars, recording superstars, you know, you're Beyonce, right? Beyonce. Oh, by the way, Beyonce, we're going to have to squeeze this all in and put out, dog poop if possible because,
you know, you're doing some dumb, you know, moving. Like, no, they would never do that now. But this is all preceded on the fact that Ringo was in this terrible, going to be in this terrible movie that they rushed a Beatles album.
Right.
And they still did it.
They did it.
Which is even more incredible.
But if you think about it, this is what I always tell people. Who, like, I don't want to like overdo it with Beatles worship, but even the biggest acts today, the biggest artists today, right? The Beatles were putting out a new album every 6 months,
right?
For a time,
yeah, it's crazy.
Plus, not only
and singles,
not only every 6 months, plus singles, right. Plus EPs,
right.
Plus touring, concerts, right. Interviews.
Well, they stopped touring.
And then. 5 movies.
Right. Wow.
All within like a 7-year period.
Right.
How? How did they?
It was 4 of them.
But how? How? Writing like 200 songs, number one hits,
right. Right.
Movies,
right.
Music videos,
and.
Like feature film movies, right. Music videos,
and they were. And it was all before the age of 30.
I'm like, but how did they have the? Did they sleep?
Not
did they
really.
Eat? Did they go to the bathroom?
I mean, they went on vacation. You know, they went to India. They what did this. The they did that. You know, it was impressive.
It was impressive. I mean, just writing most one impression. Song is hard enough, and they're right. Just pumping them out like it's just like yeah, it's nothing.
Any celebrity deaths, too, that we have to recap? I mean, there's been a lot of them.
I have no idea. I mean, yeah, yes, there must be. I just, I can't
think of...
I cannot recall off the top of my head.
I mean, there's been some. Some big ones. Not so much in music, I don't think. TV or movies.
I mean, I text you every time
yeah,
I find out, but I can't, I don't.
Yeah, I know.
They disappeared from my memory. My memory banks.
I mean, people we've talked about...
You know, who comes to mind?
I don't know.
Whatever. I don't know.
Mr. T's still alive.
I pity the fool, Hannibal. I ain't getting on no plane.
He's one of the few still alive. Not many.
Mr. T.
Not many of our old favorites still kicking. Ed Begley still around?
Ed Begley, yep. Ted Danson.
Ted Danson, yeah.
Larry and Jeff.
Well,
no, you do Larry.
But! What, Larry? No! What? What? No!
No!
No! A spite store! It was Susie. A spite store! Susie found out that you signed my pulling the plug document.
That's funny.
What do they call that? Kind of
like a, it was a live-in will or whatever.
Whatever that will. Is. Or like the lawn jockey thing.
Yes, that was
what
hilarious.
Even, what is that? What is a lawn jockey?
Yeah, it's an old 50s era thing you put on the lawn.
Larry, I know what you did. The lawn jockey.
I have a celebrity death.
Leon, but who?
Larry.
Oh, Richard Lewis.
Boy, hey, what's going
The great Richard Lewis died.
Oh, you bought the car? That was my car, Larry. I wanted the car.
That was my car.
Listen, I Richard love Richard Lewis, but... And I'm glad he did that last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but...
Well, he has Parkinson's. What do you want for the guy?
He looked terrible. Well, I felt bad. No, I'm saying I felt bad for him.
Yeah, well...
He's doing these scenes. He looked sickly. Stuff. I'm sorry. He looked sickly.
Hey.
And I'm a fan. I'm just saying... I'm saying as a fan, I felt bad. He was forcing himself.
Carl Weathers died.
Carl Weathers, yeah. Carl Weathers. That surprised me. Because he seems like a
brief illness, I believe, of some kind.
Yeah, whatever that.
Well, it could be anything. Yeah, he died.
Carl Weathers. George Burns is dead.
He's been him. Yeah, George Burns dead for a long time. George Burns. I mean, well, we're at it. Sammy Davis Jr. is dead.
George
by the way.
Burns. Yeah, I'm gonna live to be 100.
Good night, Grace.
I think he did, too. Actually.
Yeah, I think he was. He was 101 or something like that. Bob Hope was.
Yeah, Bob Hope. Keep Hope alive.
No, that. What are you talking about? There's
nothing Oh! A huge one!
Woo!
It's official.
What?
murder is legal.
Right. He just died. O.J. Simpson dead.
O.J. Simpson.
Oh, right.
He finally can rest now. The killer is dead. The real killer.
Oh, I don't. Are you sure? I don't know. It could be out there. I'm very scared.
Yeah, okay. It's like O.J.
Simpson. Oh, my God.
Can you... Has there been any other such idiotic fall from grace? Like, just so blatant in your face, flaunting...
Well, many people have been canceled these
days.
But,
like, the whole O.J. Simpson situation, which is right. so... Just so strange.
I know. Well, just think about it.
Everything about it. Oh, I came out with a book. If right. I did it. What are you doing? If I did it. Oh, the... If I did it, what's wrong with you?
Well,
I didn't do it, but if I did, here's how I would have killed him. But are you stupid? Are you crazy?
Well, what did he care? They can't try him again. Double jeopardy.
It's just the whole. Well,
can't try him again. He's free. Double free jeopardy.
What is?
What?
He is the murderer.
Oh dear. No,
said,
it was, you know what's
said
funny?
Double jeopardy.
Yes, I understand. You know what's funny is...
Daily double.
Yeah. You know what's funny is...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, just think about it. O.J. Simpson and, you know, that, like, Court TV, like, blew up from that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All the, you know, all the stuff. And, you know, you wouldn't have the Kardashians. Like, their whole empire was based on the name, which was known from the trial, you know, and that was, like, the whole impetus for them, and it's just crazy. That, you know, what came out of that, you know, after the fact.
I'm telling you, the entire situation.
Nuts.
Baffled. It's just so strange. So surreal. Like, anyway, yeah, so he's dead.
He's dead.
Idiot.
I know.
Big dummy!
Oh, you know.
Lamont!
Oh, dear.
He's a dummy!
I think Lamont was at Chiller a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Lamont. Desmond, whatever his name was. I think he was. People said he was not very friendly.
Really? Right. Should have gone up to him like...
I'm sure people did. I'm sure people did. He was like, oh, that again. Oh, that fit.
Like, I've never heard that before. How original.
Like a Leonard Nimoy joke. Oh, let's look and prosper again. Oh.
You know.
Others?
I mean, there's so many. So
I mean, you can look it up,
but yeah.
Yeah, there's been some people that I like, and.
Like who?
You're holding my phone, so I can't look it up.
You hold it there.
No, I was trying to think on top of my head. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, I mean, this one wasn't. Very recently, but right. Did we ever say Dolores O'Riordan? No, yeah, I think
who?
Her. The Cranberries lead singer?
Eh, probably not. You were more into them.
Dolores O'Riordan.
Mm.
That was surprising. I was so young, too.
Well, I think it was suicide.
Still surprising.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the Cranberries, I love it. They had
well,
a lot of good
music. Just
think
about this. Just think, like, if you're, like... You know, because, like, all those, like, old, like, 70s bands, they're all either dead or fully retired at this point, most of them, or on their last tour again.
Yellow.
Yeah, like, the Eagles, and they're always on their last tour. But even, like, the 80s bands, you know, a lot of those people aren't alive anymore. They can't tour. Like, Huey Lewis is, like, deaf, so he can't tour anymore. And then look at the 90s bands. Like, who's even alive? They're all dead. Like Chris Robinson's alive and Black Crows and Jerry
Hey, you get your mind at the thing, can it call the mama third and the nine and the nine.
The Spin Doctors guy's alive and
right.
He's from New Jersey. You know, and I'm trying to like get Jerry Cantrell and
who?
Wasn't he in Alice in Chains?
Oh, I don't know.
But you know, like a Soundgarden, this is so
Oh right, yeah.
But so many are dead.
It's unbelievable.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Go on. I mean, you go on, and they've, well, a lot of them have died in the last, like, 10 years.
And now the Cranberries.
She's dead.
Of all bands, the Cranberries.
Yeah, so that's... It's crazy.
It is. That one hurt.
Wild, wacky stuff. It is something. You know, when you think about, like, hey, I want to see this band, and there's, like, nobody left.
Yeah, there's very
Matchbox
few.
20.
Very few. Well,
they're alive.
That's...
But, you know what I mean? Like, that whole, like, 90s, you know, grunge, and, well, even after the grunge, you know, that whole era is just, God, I mean, the musicians are still around, well, some of them, but so many are not. It's crazy. And they weren't that old. Dropping like flies.
It's like wrestlers.
Well, the wrestlers, yeah. I mean,
they don't live
steroids.
Long, actually,
else.
Surprisingly, Hogan is still alive.
That's right, brother. Yeah. What you gonna do, brother? I'm still around, brother. They've canceled me. They've called me a racist, but I'm back.
I said my prayers. I took my vitamins.
That's right. Took my vitamins. Said my prayers. Can't keep the hoaxer down.
Vince McMahon. Bro. I saw this video.
Oh, Vince! Oh,
I saw
Vince.
This video of... This was back when Vince McMahon was wrestling.
Right.
He became a wrestler.
Yeah, he did. Well, he was, you know, steroids.
He did steroids and became this Arnold Schwarzenegger-looking wrestler. And this one thing... I forget who was in the ring, but they were like The Rock or something, and they were arguing. And then all of a sudden, like, this was obviously staged, but
right.
Vince McMahon comes, like, running down
the ramp. I think I know what you're going to talk about.
And he dives headfirst into the ring under the ropes.
Right.
And bashes both of his knees against the edge of the ring.
That's not what happened.
And then he stands up and immediately collapses because he broke both of his knees.
What happened was...
That's what the people said online that I read.
No, what happened
was... He couldn't
was,
get up. He literally could not get up. They had to drag him
Vince
out of the
McMahon
ring.
Vince McMahon was doing a run-in at the end of whatever this match was. And so he's running down the ramp, and he gets right to the ring apron, and he's ready, and he's jumping in the ring.
Right.
And when he went to jump in the ring, he not only, like, it wasn't like a muscle pull, he literally tore, like, both, like interior leg muscles. Tore them both.
He couldn't stand.
No, he couldn't do anything.
He was just sitting there. Like.
So he literally was kneeling on the mat. And he was just looking like
no,
oh.
He was sitting. He was
whatever,
sitting
yeah. So he
just
like,
looking around.
He was like, and they were like, well, what do we do now?
They
like,
dragged him off.
Rolled him back. That is an infamous moment in wrestling. Yeah,
that was. I never saw that before. That was
yeah, that was infamous.
Because by then I had stopped watching wrestling.
Yeah, I wasn't really watching it either then at that point. But that was infamous.
These old clips are hilarious. I'm like, what an idiot. He destroyed both of his legs.
Well, he destroyed everything now. He's completely canceled for his malfeasance.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, right?
Let me just say, all right, this is the last thing I'll say.
Arr.
I haven't watched wrestling in decades.
All
right. Right? I mean, I watched it when we were little, growing up, and I loved it. But then, I don't know, it ran its course.
Whatever.
And I didn't watch it. But when we grew up, when we were watching WWF, whoever it was, Macho Man, Hogan, Rick Rude, Jake the Snake, it didn't matter. You know, Junkyard Dog. They would get in the ring. They would wrestle.
Yeah.
Like Greg the Hammer, Valentine, Rowdy Piper. They would wrestle.
Right.
Hadn't watched wrestling in decades. I'm at a restaurant.
Yeah.
In a sports bar, whatever. And on one of the TVs, they're showing... WWE.
Right.
It was like, oh, you know, I haven't watched this in a long time. It's on the TV. I'm just looking at it, whatever. An hour went by, like, there was no wrestling. There was no. The people were in the ring.
Yeah, they just cut promos.
They were talking, they were arguing, they were shoving each other, right. They were slapping.
Well, that's WWE.
There
nowadays.
Was no. wrestling match. There was no wrestling. There was nothing. Soap opera. There was no moves.
I know, it's a soap opera.
They were just talking to each other. I'm like, that's, what is this? Talking?
Yeah, I know. That's why I watch AEW, All Elite Wrestling, because it's actual wrestling. It's not, you know, they don't do these, this, you know, like literally, if you look at WWE, like it's like 35% of their airtime is wrestling.
Yeah, and the rest is not. And the other 2/3 is talking.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
But not even talking like we're backstage right. or we're doing in the ring.
Yeah, I know. They just cut promos.
In their outfits.
I know. They cut promos against you. That's what their fans love.
It was so stupid.
I know. I don't like it, but that's what they love. They
but
just...
how do you call that wrestling when there's no wrestling?
Well, it's sports entertainment.
Well, I guess so.
So.
It's like, you know, oh, I'm turning on the Yankees game,
right.
And they're just out in the field talking to each other, and like, are they, do they play baseball? This is baseball. No, it's not baseball. No, they're just talking anyway.
That's what they do nowadays.
Garbage.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. All right.
Waka 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 waka. Hey, waka waka. Ah, waka waka waka.